Blaney, Mickey 104.5 The Zone. Happy Thursday, everybody. Halfway through the Thursday show, Titans day two of practice. As you heard in Lucas Panzeca's update, it was not as crisp as it was day one. Blaine, could the heat, these hottest 2 days of the year, could they be taking an effect already? There were a couple of fumbled snaps by the starting quarterback. John Glennon reported that Deshaun Kizer had a rough day one. Apparently, the kicker started slowly as well. Now, one guy who apparently is not affected by heat, gravity, anything, the pull of the Earth's pull, anything, is A.J. Brown. Apparently, that dude has started out like gangbusters, but did sound like a bit of a rough day out of the gate for number two, especially for Blucker, the combination of kickers, Blake and Tucker. I think the A to Z podcast, Titans A to Z podcast, has referred to this as hashtag Blucker watch. We need like big voice guy to do a Blucker watch. They were 6 of 10 today for makeable field goals. Could it be, Blaine? And I'll let you address all this. I'm just asking like 7 questions as we start here. That not only is the kicker not on the roster yet, could it be that the backup quarterback of this team is maybe not on the roster yet too?
Well, I'm definitely not going to go too far with it. Quarterback stuff, no way, no how. That's why you're the backup. You're going to have some ups and downs. As much as I love the MAC conference that I played in, you know, at Woodside, I'm assuming Kaiser's going to win that battle. He's got the talent, but you got to put it all together. There's a reason why he's a backup, but I think the upside, I think, is there for him. So I think he'll eventually win out. But the kicking game will make me real nervous because I haven't seen – any one of these guys in a live game under pressure in a regular season. But you got to take baby steps, and that is starting with practice. And you got to practice good habits at practice, and that means not missing a field goal in practice. So, yeah, I'd be nervous. And, you know, I've been nervous the whole time just because I don't know very much about kicking. Besides, you can get in their head, they're mentally fragile to a certain extent. If things go wrong and they're trying to correct themselves. That's why I was jokingly but seriously talking about having a kicking coach, kicking specialist, because they can kind of help you fight through sometimes what your body is doing, and you don't really realize it till maybe the next day or when you're watching film of yourself, which is too late, too late in a game. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. That'll be a battle we'll be watching. I'm sure they got a punch list for veterans. But it's just interesting. We're going on year three now, kicking game. And just, man, that would give me a freaking heart attack. I'm sorry. I have heart palpitations now just thinking about I don't know who my kicker is. Ooh, I'd be nervous. I wouldn't be nervous about, oh, the quarterback had a bad day. Oh, the receivers did great on one-on-one, but when they got the team, the DBs was shutting them down. Yeah, well, guess what? I want practice to go through ebbs and flows. Not only every other day, but also throughout the practice, because that's why they're in the NFL. Ultimate competitors. You're going to win some, you're going to lose some. But it's, you know, hey, it's what you do after you lose one. Hey, let's go again. Let's go till you figure it out. And then if you want to be elite, go against the elite and see how you stack up. And guess what? The elite will start respecting you if you do pretty good. They go, uh-oh, that youngster's pretty good. He's going to be all right. He's going to help us. Whether you're on offense or defense. So offensive lineman, D tackle to DB and corner. Yep.
Mike Vrabel talked about Blucker, the kicker, two-headed kicker monster after practice. This is what the head coach said about hashtag Blucker watch on day two.
Well, I mean, I think that they had plenty of company. You know, I think that they had plenty of company throughout the team. So I think that was you know, we're going to have to come back and be much more consistent. But, yeah, you know, I mean, we have to make them. You know, that's how you're evaluated, is whether you make them or not. And, you know, like you said, we were 60% as a group today.
So, Teron Davenport of ESPN, he charted this. He charted the kickers, the kicks today for Blucker. Here we go. 37 yards. Hobbield, no. McCann, yes. I feel like we're taking roll for, like, a vote in the Senate or something. 32. They go up to 32. Hobbill and McCann both make the kick. Okay, let's go back to 40. Hobbill, yes. McCann, no. Okay, 3 more yards. Move it back. Like you said, move it back. Hallbill, yes. McCann, yes. Both good from 43. You know what? Old Goskowski kicked some long ones to win games last year. Let's move this rascal. Not 50, 49. Hallbill, no. McCann, no.
Oh, and then that's supposed to be McCann's specialty, deep kicks?
Apparently not today. Thanks to TD for laying that out. Literally down to the yardage. Appreciate you, TD. So that was a no from 49 for both.
Yeah, that will be a little nerve-wracking. But you see how Vrabel slid it in there that he said they weren't by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that means he's talking about up and down the whole roster. You know, offense, defense, whatever you want, quarterback, you know, whoever, running back, all of it. So maybe the second day of the heat got to him a little bit. But that's where you have to show the mental fortitude and the mental toughness to play this game and think of it like it's going to be an edge for you, at least early in the season. Because when you come down to this heat, whether you're coming from the West Coast out there in a nice little breeze and everything else, or you're coming from, you know, wherever else that may be nowhere near as humid as here and as hot. So you got to look at it that way. And you got to find a way to fight through it and make it a fun deal. Because guess what? Here's another way I used to psych out my mind and trick my mind. And this was just to go through practice when it was on fire. When you feel the heat and you stretching on that ground and you're stretching and you're trying to find air, it starts playing mental games like, dang, man, I can barely breathe out here, man. It's hot as you know what out here. Guess what? But guess what? It wouldn't be hot if I was at the beach tanning and I saw all those nice little ladies walking by with those bikinis on. Guess what? I wouldn't be talking about the heat, would I? Nope. I'd be talking about, ooh, look at those hot chicks right there. Yeah. Yeah. So guess what I did? I started looking at that water and they say like you stranded on an island. I start seeing things. I'd be like, hey, man, I'm at the beach, man. Let's go have some fun. Where the beach ball at? Let's go play some volleyball. I'm about to go play some volleyball. Oh, my bad. It's a football. Let's go have some fun. You got to start doing stuff. You know where you're going to make it. You start thinking of the, oh, my God, this is so hot. This is horrible. Good Lord. I mean, this all the negative things you're putting in your brain, you just start believing it. And then it makes it tougher. It just makes it harder. No, I'm at the beach. Bro, now they laugh at me. I go out there with some energy. Third day, fifth day of heat, 95. Hey, man, what's up, man? We at the beach. What's wrong with this dude? Yeah, man, we at the beach. Better go out here and have some fun, man. Mm-hmm. I'll go get the Mai Tais after practice.
I bet you might have gotten called the son of a beach by somebody after
that. Man, like, dude, does this dude turn off? Yeah, I do. When I go lay down, I'd be like, ooh, I'm exhausted. Oh, my. Boy, can I get some of this shade? Or another thing I used to do is go stand next to those gentle giants. Oh, they do a good job blocking off the sun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, stand right by them. Like, yeah, man, what are you doing, man? Oh, nothing, man. I'm just giving me some water to get on the knee right here. Man, I'm getting some shade tree. Yep, Taylor Wine, what's going on, buddy? Hey, man, you got some new tats on your knee, man. I see that. That's cool. What did you get? How did you decide what you wanted?
Mm-hmm.
Downtime. Guess what? Sun tan time. Shade time. Yeah, man, you got to find all of them. I could ramble off all kind of crap I used to do. People are like, man, what are you doing, man? Get away from me.
No, for people who don't know, you guys had sometimes not one, two padded practices a day. You had to survive through. It was a different world back then. Two padded practices a day.
Yeah, Vrabel was part of that. He know what that's about.
He knows.
Yeah. Yeah, I was so happy. Practices started easing up when we got to Nashville. I was like, oh, whoa. When they was talking about, yeah, you go two practices in a row, and the third practice is just special teams. I'm going, I'm not on special teams. I'm a back. I don't know. I started saying, knowing daggone well I was a backup on a special team. I'm like, dang, I wanted to stay in my bed and relax. I'm like, nope, backup's got to come too. So I just go out there and just lather up with the suntanning oil because I'm not doing a rep and just stand out there and get a tan. I'm like, man, this is taking away energy. Come on, bro. But then I just be mad, just run down real fast, make it tough. I'm going to be out here. I'm going hard. You got me out here. I'm going full blast. He's so mad, dude. Like, what are you doing? Hey, dude, I got to stay loose over here. I got some jets. I'm pissed off right now. I'm out here. Yeah. They know they're never going to put me out here on kickoff. They had never put me on kickoff.
Nope, not happening.
Nope, I'm running down fast. Blaine, what are you doing? Why are you supposed to be the safety valve? No, man, I was running down making that tackle. So guess what? I was forcing them to take me off of it. Yeah, man.
Did it work?
You stay in the hotel, Blaine, man. You messing up our drill.
Yeah, that's right. Should be out here.
Tales from training camp. With the
I'm an 8-year veteran out here. I run out of backup kickoff, man.
You probably had to screw up the drills to get out of it, though. People are taking notes right now, like, whatever I don't like at work, I'm going to screw it up so they'll find somebody else.
I mean, running down here, man, I'm about to blow this thing up. Hey, slow down! No, man! I got to get loose. Y'all got me out here. Hey, if anything, I hope they listen to about get them shade trees, all them big gentle giants out there, boy. Woo! I'm serious on that note, man.
Oh, let's we got to get some shade from Alan Bell next. Let me catch my breath. Alan Bell from Sportsline joins us next on Blaine and Mickey. Oh, man.
Antonio Brown.
Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Boy, you hear the sound of money. Sportsline will make you some money. If you follow Alan Bell on Twitter, he'll make you some money. At Alan Bell 247. He joins us right now. AB, first of all, you can't be tweeting me fast food stuff in the middle of the night and getting me in on these discussions, because then I get hungry at midnight and I want a hamburger. But long ago, this is a true story. Alan Bell joins us. I didn't know Alan. But I remember us talking about him in a radio station one day. I said, I don't know who this dude is. He has the best Twitter of anybody I've ever seen. He's right on point with sports, with pop culture. He challenges people if he doesn't like what they're doing. Alan Bell's Twitter is straight fire. And since we've had that discussion, Alan, you're just like the most popular man in the world. So thanks for, you know, slumming it with us a little bit here now that you've just blown up out there.
Well, I'll tell you what. Hey, check's in the mail, so I appreciate those compliments there. No, man, just like, you're like me. Like, we could talk about food, we could talk about sports, we could talk about all of it together. And I love that you had the right answer talking about late night food. Yeah, once Whataburger gets here, and I know that you've been the biggest advocate of theirs in Tennessee, buddy, I can't wait, man. I'm fired up for that.
Hey, your man Blaine makes fun of my Whataburger obsession, but ask, hey, Alan, you do this interview right now. Ask former Houston Oiler Blaine Bishop what food got him through his early training camp. Ask him, go ahead and ask him what food he ate every day.
Oh, my.
Yeah, Blaine, what is that? What food got you through, brother?
Yeah. I lived, you know, on my own there my rookie year during the season at training camp. And that was one of my weekly dinner stops for dinner, being a single guy at the ripe young age of 23 or so.
See, Blaine knows.
So
yeah,
Whataburger was one of my stops. Yes, it was.
There
it was
go.
The first I've ever heard of it, so it was more about the newness. They don't have them in the Midwest. Yeah. But once I got on there, you know, yeah, I got hooked. That was part of my rotation weekly.
I love it.
It was a high-powered athlete.
I'm not going to go that far there, AB. I ain't going to say I love it. There's a reason why they say water burger. There's no water. A little water, too much water in there. But
Blaine makes me laugh, man. You're too funny.
AB, this is multiple times all pro. So that you listen to that, kids. You want to be all pro safety, you eat Whataburger. Eat what the pros eat. You go to Whataburger.
Yeah. I can just see the commercial
like
right now.
Bishop. That's how you do it. Alan Bell from Sportsline, our guest. All right. So last weekend, your good friends in Vegas, who you're in cahoots with, you know what's going on out there. The guys in Vegas, they're like taking the Packers off, saying, hey, man, Aaron Rodgers is going to retire. Well, then not only he doesn't retire, he comes back. He gives the most epic speech in history. And then, like, they're signing The Undertaker. They're trading for Randall Cobb again. Like, he's running things now. What a turn of events. And I would imagine what a change of Vegas odds all up and down the board with the Green Bay Packers.
Big time, big time. So you're right. Last week, literally, like if you could picture in your mind what a room of computers looks like, and if there's just every computer on fire, the trash cans on fire, like that's what they looked like last weekend. And then we get the news, obviously, that Aaron Rodgers is coming back. They take them all off the board again, do their updates, and it legitimately took 10 seconds from that coming out that the Packers went from being number two favored in the NFC North to easily back to number one as the favorite to win that division. So, yeah, that's the power that Aaron Rodgers makes. And you're right, they go get Randall Cobb. They bring in, Dennis Kelly as well for the offensive line. Clearly made some moves. And, everybody feels good about the Packers once again.
Yeah, Donald Driver's phone probably ringing right now, too. Alan Bell joins us from Sportsline.
Yeah, Jordy Nelson as well. I'm sure
as well. Yeah.
Alan, I know, Mickey's, avid, gambler, unlike myself. I'm a novice. So that may explain, first of all, take me through subscribing to, your website, CBS Sportsline, and then all the different things I could actually do in there that you could explain to all us, beginners, let's say.
Yeah, absolutely. So, that's what we want to tailor to, is the people who are making their first bet, people who are making their 1 millionth bet, right? Like, we have all of that information. We want to break it down. So one of the things that we're talking about, going off of, say, Super Bowl odds, right? So if you are somebody who wants to place a bet on a team to win the Super Bowl, well, right now is the best time to do it, because you're going to have such good odds, because we're so far out, that you can use numbers against the Vegas books. And let me explain. So if you want to take – let's say the Packers, the Titans, and the Rams, all right, to win the Super Bowl. Well, what you do is, if you've got the Packers at plus 600, the Titans at plus 800, and the Rams at plus 1,000, and I'm just putting those numbers there, well, place the same wager on all three of those, because no matter if all you need is one of those to hit, and you're making a profit. You see what I'm saying? So if you now is the time to where you can use Vegas's numbers against them. So that's the kind of information we want to put out there, saying, look, there's all kinds of ways to bet. Let us show you exactly how to go about doing it, like tonight in the NBA draft. So you're going to have, teams and players that are favorited to go, one, two, three, et cetera. So they're going to have super high odds, like, Cade Cunningham to go number one overall, like minus 3,000. You don't put your money on that. Even if it's going to go, we're going to show you where the value is and say, all right, take Luka Garza over under, number 55 and a half to be drafted. It's going to go well under that number, and you could get much better odds on it. So if that kind of makes sense, like, that's what we want to do. We want to take everybody inside of the bet and say, all right, here's where you're going to make your money. Hit it here and then hit it here. And at the end of the day, you're putting profit in, back in your account instead of losing.
Man, well, that really helped out a novice guy like myself. But Mickey, the experienced bettor, that is, what's the craziest bet that you've had, let's just say, over the last couple of months? Any crazy bets?
Oh, I'll tell you this. So someone input a bet. It wasn't me. I wish that it was. Someone input a bet. Yeah, that the Buccaneers would win the Super Bowl, that the Tampa Bay Lightning would win the Stanley Cup, and the Los Angeles Dodgers would win the World Series. They parlayed that. So if the Dodgers win the World Series, that person is going to turn $5 into $500,000. Think about that.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
This is how you get addicted right there. If he wins that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Odds of these things happening, getting one of them is good. And this person is parlaying them. It's just pure insanity. So, yeah, you see crazy stuff like that all the time.
Well, I'm just acting like, I'm going to start gambling. But what's your most asked question, too, by the way?
Questions are good. Questions are always good.
Yeah, questions, you can never go wrong. That's what my mom told me. If you don't know, just ask a question. It's okay.
Yep. 100% it's okay. Yeah, we've all asked them at one point or another. I'm with you. Totally.
So, yeah. So, how much gambling has been done at the Olympics? Like, can you gamble on the Olympics? Or is that not true?
Yeah, you can. Absolutely. So, not just much. So, what we're seeing is that the time delay is really throwing things off. You know, when you have, large sports like, say men's basketball, and they're playing at 1:30 in the morning, 4:30 in the morning, it really hurts the wagering. So you're not seeing as much, and it's kind of reflected in the ratings as well. So I'll give you a perfect example. If you look at the state of Tennessee since sports betting opened back in November, all right, here are the percentages of sports that they have wagered on, and this is the entire state. Basketball is number one at 38%. Number two is, 20% on parlays, 18% on NASCAR, MMA, tennis, golf, kind of all put together, 17% on football, and 7% on baseball. Now, note that that football number is skewed because it was at the end of the season. When we go through a full season of college football and the NFL, that number is going to go up through the roof. But it goes to show you that, basketball really does deliver, even if people aren't, big NBA fans. It is such a popular sport. So I said all that to say this. It's hurting the gambling numbers that basketball isn't on and live, in a primetime number.
Gotcha. Makes a lot of sense. We're on with Alan Bell with CBS Sports Line. Mickey?
I was thinking about this, AB, and it's funny we're talking about the Olympics. Are people crossing over? Like, I'm going to cross over some equestrian jumper and, some tandem diving team from Bulgaria. I would imagine the parlays are just unlimited at the Olympics because you're literally combining completely different things if you chose to do that.
Oh, big time. And you're right. See, that is the biggest part. Is that, for the broadcast, for NBC and Peacock, if they can get you on there watching, like on average, people are going to watch at least 30, 35 minutes of it if you literally just go to the channel. So they've got to get people on there and start watching it. And exactly, like you said, the books are reflecting that in terms of parlay and individual bets. But people are looking at it saying, okay, we got swimming. Ooh, all right, ping pong's here in 10 minutes. Ooh, we've got, rifle archery here in 27. It's almost like going to summer camp, and you have all of these items that are listed out. So, yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. Like, there's all kinds of just crazy stuff coming in, and not only on the sport, but then on the individual athletes as well, to where you're putting in, like, all right, I'm going to take Iran in basketball today. I've got the Russian IOC, and some sort of swimming medley. Like, it's phenomenal. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I would imagine if you are just truly, truly somebody who this is your way of life and you're always trying to find that angle, the Olympics would have to offer sharps some unbelievable opportunities to make money.
Big time.
Alan Bell's big time. Let's go to some of the sharps on these Titans individual player over and unders. I saw Bet Online had put out a whole list of them. So the Derrick Henry thing is, like, in the last couple of years, his over for touchdowns has hit. His over for yardage has hit. This year, I saw 15, 50 and a half yards for him and 14 and a half touchdowns. To me, that just seems like easy money, but I guess it's supposed to seem easy, right? Because that's why they have all those big buildings in Vegas.
No, you're right. But to me, it does too. I thought that number would be much higher just because when someone eclipses, a 2,000-yard marker, that kind of gives you free reign to bump that number up. And especially with adding an additional game to the regular season too. So both of those look extremely attractive on the overs. And that's even with, the Titans offense obviously adding Julio Jones. So, your ball distribution is going to be a little bit different. Plus, what do we see out of Darrington Evans or Brian Hill, at the running back position as well. So all that said, I would feel very comfortable with both of those overs, even if Derrick Henry's numbers, at least his carries go down a little bit, which I think is good. I'm surprised that they're, quote unquote, that low, for somebody like him.
We're talking ball distribution and more with Alan Bell of Sportsline.
Well, all I care about is win. So have the Titans moved at all about on their win total? Man.
Yeah, you look at 9.5, which I think, again, I mean, that's a pretty attractive number. Sportsline, we ran the simulations. We had the Titans about 10.5, 11 wins, and I think that that's fair. I think that's exactly where this team probably is. So for them sitting at 9.5, You know, a number that they clearly eclipsed last year, even with all the issues that were in the secondary, in the defensive, you know, front seven everywhere. This is a much better team, and it's not that Vegas is fading them by any means, but it's just a really attractive number to get at. So I like the over on that one. I like the over, you know, on the Falcons. I think they're at like seven. You know, our guy Arthur Smith down there, I think he's going to be better than people think. But just 10.5, that's a really attractive number. I thought that they would put it at 10.5 and really kind of force people's hands. But, yeah, 9.5, that's a nice one to be over.
Well, where do they have the freaking Colts?
Yeah.
I think it's 9. It's somewhere around there because – if you look at it was 9.5. It's kind of moved depending on what book that you look at. But if you look at the division odds, you know, for the AFC South, it's pretty much neck and neck. It's like Colts, Titans, both at +105, +110, you know, tied. So yeah, so they've got the Colts about right at the same spot. But the interesting thing is that we kind of know who the Titans are. You know, barring anything, you know, catastrophic, we pretty much know where the Titans are going to be. The Colts are the biggest, like, they're the biggest question mark in the NFL right now, because if Carson Wentz isn't any good, buddy, they are going to be trouble in a hurry. So, yeah, that part's fascinating. But, yeah, to answer your question, it's about right there.
As long as our offense is good to go, and you talked about Henry already, what about Tandy Time and A.J. Brown and J. Square? Yeah, Julio.
Vegas is all over him. Those three guys right there, obviously with, you know, Derrick Henry included, you know, that's the biggest thing is, you know, Vegas looks at, okay, how is this team going to go about, you know, they're going to score points, but who's going to do it? If you look at it from that perspective or even like a fantasy perspective, where is this ball distribution going to be? And you'll hear people talk about, you know, yeah, you know, there's only one football to go around. They say in basketball, there's only one basketball to go around. That is true. That part is true. However, you know what a team that – and look, I'm not saying that they're exact comparison, but a team offensively that the Titans can learn a little bit from in terms of how they go about with so many stars is the Kansas City Chiefs. Nobody talks about them having a problem with ball distribution. Instead of scoring 35 points, you score 45 points, right? You just keep jamming it down there. So I think we're going to see a lot with the Titans. You know, the interesting part will be, you know, in the red zone. I think that's really going to be – not necessarily a question mark, but just who's going to get the ball, because you've got monster options at wide receiver. You've got the Ferkmeister there at tight end. Plus you have the best running back in the league and you have a quarterback who can run too. So I think those are going to be the biggest questions when the Titans get inside the 8-yard line, the 5-yard line, the 3-yard line. That part is going to be fascinating because that's where your touchdowns are going to come from. And you got a whole lot of guys that can put it in.
Roman Allen Bell with CBS Sports Line. One more, and it's kind of a curveball from what we've been talking about. You know, tend the pun there, curveball. What's the likelihood of Kumar Rocker being in a Mets uniform this season?
Being what? Say it again.
Kumar Rocker in a Mets uniform after they were having issues with his elbow/contract?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that's a good question. And it's going to happen, right? I mean, I don't think that, you know, Tim Corbin or Vanderbilt, you know, would have been putting the guy out there if he was having serious, you know, injury issues. So I think that, you know, that Tim Corbin's a guy that you could trust. It's one of those things where he's going to have time to do it too. He'll have his rehab time. He'll be able, you know, to take care of that situation and kind of go through not only the rehab stints, but, you know, his quick trip through the minors, which it'll probably be. So, yeah, I would have zero issues whatsoever being concerned about Kumar Rocker. He comes from an athletic background, obviously, you know, with his family. So they know how to go about it. And they're going to do it the right way. I'd have no issues there. And I love seeing the Texas Rangers with Jack Leiter down there, which, Mickey, you're right. He looks just like his dad. It's crazy how much they look alike. And Rangers fans are fired up. I mean, that kid is a stud. He's got a rocket launcher for an arm. The two Vandy pitchers, I wouldn't be concerned one bit with them.
With Alan Bell with CBS Sports Line.
No concerns with AB. How long are people able to bet on this? What season that Texas and Oklahoma will play their first SEC games?
No, not yet, but that's going to come up. And I'm sure that offshore books are going to do it first, and then you'll see it come. Into the books in the state. And I'll tell you this, How we'll do it is that they'll set it up, like you said, with a date. And the date's probably going to be July 1st, 2022. That's kind of the over-under, so to say, of how they would place it.
I got you. All right, one last one. I saw you tweet about this earlier, just the business of sports gambling in Tennessee. You tweeted about a loophole where people are going to say, okay, it's only mobile. Well, guess what? We got that figured out, right?
Exactly. So, you know, with, you know, the legalities of sports betting in Tennessee, you can't take physical cash. Like if you're in Las Vegas at a sports book, you know, placing your money at a teller with a person placing your bet. You can only do it through a phone, computer, tablet, et cetera. But there's a loophole here that's been here the entire time. So if it was Blaine and Mickey's Sports Bar over, you know, on Demumbrian Street, and, you know, you wanted to have a live, you know, kind of sports betting atmosphere there, well, yeah, you can't take physical bets. But what you can do is put tablets at the tables and let people operate it on their own. So, you know, we haven't seen any restaurants or sports books take advantage of that. And now the news comes out today that DraftKings is launching sportsbook style, you know, bars and restaurants across the country. And Detroit and Nashville are going to be the first two cities to get them. So it's a brilliant idea in a market that is just massively, you know, taking in the sports betting. It's going to be a huge, huge win for them. And any bars or restaurants that are listening right now, you can take advantage of this today. But it's a brilliant idea, and DraftKings is going to rake up with it.
I like the sales pitch. You can take advantage of this today with Alan Bell, Sportsline. Oh, man. Hey, AB, great stuff. Always great to catch up with you, and we'll talk to you again soon, buddy.
Absolutely. I miss y'all, man. Y'all be good. Thanks so much for having me.
Appreciate it.
At Alan Bell 247. Seriously, follow him. There's everything on his Twitter. His Twitter is just a buffet of interesting stuff. You got to follow him. All right. We gave you a couple of those Titans player props. Where's Julio? Where's Tannehill? There's numbers out for those guys, too. We'll talk a little over and under. Blaine, I'll ask you. You give me over-unders. We'll play a little game next. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey running through your afternoon here, 1 to 3 every day. We're on Zone TV now, so you can just see us in all of our gloriousness if you choose to do that. If you missed the show, I had a real nice Twitter conversation with a fella, and he said he started listening to us on Titans pre- and post-game, which, by the way, congratulations to the Zone and Titans Radio. The Titans are going to just stay here for years and years and years, and Rhett Bryan is great at what he does, and it all starts and it flows through him, and it came from the great Larry Stone and Brad Willis and so many people who've built this thing, and Mike Keith and Coach Mack. And we're happy to keep the Titans here on this radio station and to be a part of that on your Sunday mornings with Dr. Kevin Dyson. We even get to be part of it. So I know that we love that as well. And congratulations to Rhett, to Titans Radio, and to the Titans and everybody at the radio station. Sounds like there's going to be a bunch more stuff coming down the pipeline too. So we're excited to keep this partnership going, that's for sure. Let's get into some of these Titans over-under numbers. Let's do this. So, Blaine, I told you we're going to have a little fun here in the final segment. We got plenty of time to answer these questions. Over-unders from Bet Online for Titans players. There's Ryan Tannehill. There's Derrick Henry. There's Julio Jones. There's A.J. Brown. And there's even one on Bud Dupree. And the Bud Dupree one is going to be tough, because we have no idea when he's going to start playing or when he's going to be 100%. I'm going to save that one for last because it's the only defensive over-under for a Titans individual. We will start with this. I feel like we need music for this. It's like a game show, but I'm just going to hear the music in my head. Over-under passing yards, Ryan Tannehill, Blaine Bishop, they have him at 4,150 and a half yards. So 4,150 and a half.
And a half. What did he have last year? What did he have last year?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that.
38, 39. Was he 4,000?
I don't think he didn't have 4,000, I don't think.
Oh.
May have to have Lucas Panzica be our fact checker.
So it's 41 something and a half?
Yeah, last year he threw for 38-19.
Yeah, no Titans quarterback has ever eclipsed 4,000.
Well, all there right, you go. So
but they say him 41, though, right?
41.50 and a half.
I'm going under. I probably should go over, but
I think I would go under on that as well, although he does have Julio Jones now and A.J. Brown, so that's real tempting. Well, I think Julio can get him another couple of hundred. I may have to go over. TD passes for Ryan Tannehill, over under, set at 30.
I'm going over.
Over on TD passes. I might go over on yards and under on TD passes. Ryan Tannehill, total interceptions, they have him at 10.
I'm going over.
Over 10 interceptions.
How many did he have? You know, I want to ask everything about last year. What was he like, 12? He was low. He had a low number.
He only had seven.
Seven, yeah, okay.
He went 33 and seven. 33 touchdowns, seven interceptions.
Okay, keep those stats up. All right,
what's okay. Derrick Henry, rushing yards total, 1,550 and a half for Derrick Henry.
He stays healthy. I'm going over. That's just one more game. It's one more game.
Right, 17 games. And what's the number? I don't think anybody's ever even had 1,500 after going for 2,000. Like, the next year, you're just beat. But so I think if anybody can do it, it's him.
Well, he'll be the first, not only in Oiler Titan history, but in an NFL to do 1,500 yards or more 3 years in a row. Would that be right? Oh, I bet that. Well, we need Robbie Bourne on to tell us. I don't know.
If that's right and he does that, then you may need to start, like, carving out a bust for him and Canton. Because if you're talking about something that nobody's ever done in 101 years of NFL football, his total rushing and receiving TDs, 14 and a half. That seems like stealing to me with the opportunities that he gets.
Uh-oh, right here. Derrick Henry needs 1,500 rushing yards and 15 rushing touchdowns to become the first player in NFL history to reach both marks in three consecutive seasons. Bam!
You read that entire release, didn't you? You read the whole thing.
I did.
You did. That's amazing. You.
And I wanted to see if I recalled it. I thought I did, but I wasn't sure. You know, when you get hit in the head one too many times, you say, I think I read that. But
all right, I'm taking the over on the 1,550 and a half and the 14 and a half total touchdowns. That seems like stealing for Derrick Henry. All right, let's run through them quickly because we're running out of time. Julio Jones, total receptions, 82 and a half. Total yards receiving, 1,125 and a half.
I'm going less on the catches, and I'm going to go slightly higher on at 1,200. He's got to get 1,200 yards. I'm going to go more yards than receptions.
Six touchdowns for Julio.
I'm going to go, he's going to get eight.
All right. There's two totals for A.J. Brown. 1,190 and a half yards, so a little bit more than Julio. Nine touchdowns for A.J. Brown. So 1,190 and a half yards, nine touchdowns. Where do you fall on those numbers?
I like the nine touchdowns. I think he's going to do a little bit more in yardage.
All right, and we got to wrap it up to get to 3HL because that crew is waiting in the studio to go. Bud Dupree, total sacks, over under eight. We have no idea.
You picked this one. You picked this one. I picked the last one.
How about this? Push. Maybe he gets to eight. How about that?
I'm going to go nine.
He needs to get 10 for what he's getting paid.
Oh, no doubt, but I'm going nine.
All right, we got
to
go.
Start, then he's going to have a couple games where he has a couple.
All right, I'm going over. You talked me into it. We can't go over our time, though, so we got to go. 3HL coming up next. I'm sure they have got some big things, including Eddie George. Is that right? Coming up next on 3HL, Eddie George.
Eddie.
You stick around for that.
Eddie. Happy Thursday, Eddie. Peace.